you took on the mantle of leading the strikers, did you?
What convinced me was when I sat down after saying what I said. Now, the unions were pushing it. To them, they wanted a four-shift system for the mills. They were told by the management that they couldn't survive and whatever. But from my point of view, I didn't know what anyone else was going to say at the meeting, but I knew where I was coming from. My job was threatened. My way of life was threatened. Are you with me?
I am, yes. And so that's why you pulled back then?
Yeah.
And you didn't want the strike to go ahead in 66?
No, just now, remember, yes, exactly. Now, I didn't want the strike to go ahead in 66. Very good point. I knew that as soon as we went out, now we were brought out with all the other mills. As soon as we went out on the road, I knew that the management in Clondalkin and paper mills would not negotiate an increase in wages until we talked about a four-shift system. I knew that. I said it to to Michael McDermott, who was our branch secretary. He was a lovely man too. I could talk for another hour or two on what happened. But
how do you mean what happened?
The way things evolved, let's put it that way.
It did evolve and it did come to a head, and you did go on a strike which lasted as long as 18 weeks, isn't it?
That's right.
Was that the detriment of the company?
It was 1966. I saw it as, that's why I pulled out. If you allowed me to develop where we came from, it's so important. I was sent. I remember that the strike. I could tell you about the strike and about why it lasted so long. Paper was allowed to come in from other countries. We put in a proviso that no extra paper would come into the country while we were on strike. That there was an embargo lifted and the paper came in. That meant the country, there was no other firms got affected. So that prolonged the strike. The tenth round wage agreement, they had wage agreements, as you know, in those times. And the tenth round, the ninth round was granted to us in 64. So every 2 years they reviewed the wages. That was on all the mill, what you call it.
Because of your position there, can you tell me, were you negotiating with the government? Did they step in at any stage?
The Labour Court stepped in. But what basically happened was, in simple terms, we would go to the meetings.
Okay.
The management would be in one room, or the representatives, the Labour Court weren't there, and then we with the trade unions. So that the trade union representatives would come out and say, they're not prepared to talk about an increase in wages until you sit down and talk about a four-shift system. Because we had voted the four-shift system out in 64, there was no mandate from the workers. As I was one of their representatives, there was John Clark, and there was Liam Stone, and there was Jackie Bean. We were representing the workers that were on strike. And the Clondalkin paper mills, there was other workers, there was other shop stewards representing Waterford, there were representing Killeen. So,
but all these, I mean, the employment at the time in the factory was something like, in the mills, was something like 1,200 people, isn't it?
Between the mall, there was around, I have it there, these are the figures, that there was around 600 involved in the voting.
All these people's livelihood was at stake.
Yes.
If the job wasn't there, they had no work.
Now you have it.
So, I mean, why was there a reluctance not to go back and work? You know,
that wasn't quite right. You're not quite right there, Morris. Remember, you have to remember that Clondalkin paper mills were looking for a four shift system. It was affecting the shift workers, not the day workers, not a lot of the workers in Killeen or Waterford. Waterford were already on a four shift system, and they had manufactured a different type of paper. Killeen were doing it in a certain section. Do you understand? Basically, it was a matter of, say, principle. The men, the shift workers, could have lost a lot of money. But that wasn't discussed. Are you with me? They weren't going to negotiate anything until we sat down and talked about a four-shift system.
Yeah.
So we had, think about it, we had no mandate from the workers to sit down and talk about, in other words, as far as the mills were concerned, we'll give you an increase in wages if you work a four-shift system.
So it was a catch situation, really, wasn't it?
Well, Morris, you know and I know that as far as management was concerned, or any management, they can get as much as they can get from workers. I, as an individual, saw management had rights. I recognised that. And the men that I represented,
yeah,
they worked their heart and soul out, and a lot of them died of cancer down there for some reason. All those men that I worked with are gone, dead and gone. Every one of them.
Were these the chemicals, do you think?
I think so. Now, lucky enough, didn't affect me. But then I wasn't on that end of there was a fierce lot of stress with the work. If you'd only know, I saw men and I saw the sweat. I saw strong men, and I knew. Now, they were great guys. They worked their socks out for the mills. And in fairness, there was good wages. I mean, yeah. Morris, yeah. I was... The basic rate in 66 was £10.04. The rate that I was taken home, now that's how I was able to get married and purchase a house, put a mortgage on a house or put a deposit on a house, I was averaging about £18 a week. That's because we were on shift rate, we were on bonuses. Now, on a four shift system, we didn't know whether we could earn that kind of money or not.
Hmm.
Are you with me?
I am, yes. But I can see you're very passionate about the whole thing, and I can see that you're reliving the whole thing because it still touches you.
Oh, big time.
But in hindsight, looking back now, were there mistakes made?
The mistakes that were made if you let me develop that. We were 9 weeks on the road. 9 weeks on the road. And
you mean 9 weeks out on strike?
Strike.
Yes.
9 weeks. And the meetings would only last 5 or 10 minutes. They wanted to sit down and talk a four-shift system. We wanted to talk about an increase in wages.
What did you live on in those 9 weeks?
Exactly. What did we live on? Now... Only for...
Was there nothing at all coming in? Was there?
There was. The trade unions were paying around £5 a week. But in fairness, I lived in Talla at the time. Like that, I was married in 63, and in 66, my first child arrived in 64, and I had another baby coming along while I was out on strike. Now, I was under fierce pressure, but my wife at the time God be good to her, lost her to cancer. And she was only 37 years of age.
Did she work in the factory?
No, she didn't. No, she. I married a Tala girl, a girl from Tala. And I was
what was her name?
Carmel O'Reilly. A lovely person, lovely, gentle person. And she was with me 100%. But what I was saying is that in 1966 then, Carmel went to our local butcher, Vincent McMahon. Vincent said, my husband is on, you paid while her husband was working, you can order whatever you want. We went to Paddy Murphy, our grocer. Now, you can't do that nowadays because they're supermarkets. And the worst thing that has happened to Ireland and every other country is these supermarkets. They don't want to know you if you're in trouble. Paddy Murphy, Carmel, you can have whatever you want. You put it on the bill.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that meant so much to me. I still, though I'm in Eden Derry, I still go to the local butcher. And
back in Tala, is it?
Or here in Eden Derry. For the same reason. I love the small. They have destroyed this country. I love the small man, the small shops. People. I love communication. I love people. When I was in the mills, those men in Clondalk Paper Mills would have followed me anywhere. They turned around and told me father when I was leaving that it was a disaster for me to leave Mills at the time. But I couldn't stay in it.
But do you think that the Mills could have survived if there wasn't any strikes? Do you think the Mills could have been still going today?
To explain that to you, I'll say I was sent to Sweden. After 9 weeks on the road, there was no sign of anything happening. So I got talking to, and he, as I say, Mick McDermott. I said, Mick McDermott, we're getting nowhere. Now, says I, it's the four shifts that's blocking everything. Now, says I, there's one way out of this. What's that, Eamon? He said. I said, we'll put this four shift system to an independent tribunal. A three-man independent tribunal, I said. And, says I, if the tribunal down the road finds in favour of a four-shift system, then, and only then, will we negotiate conditions. But at the present moment, I said, we cannot sit down because we have rejected it in 64. Eamon, there's a way out, he says. Now, he put this to the management. And I said, on top of that, says I to him, we're hearing that there's a four-shift system worked in Scandinavian, in Sweden and in Norway. Now, let's go over to Sweden and Norway and see why and how they're working the four-shift system. They were working it in Canada. You see, now they were exporting paper, as you know, and pulp and all. The unions took it up like that. Now, management wouldn't back us up. So a representative went to, you see. So, now, yes, we'll go down that road. Now, I was prepared to sit at the table now because it was going to, the four-shift system was going to an independent tribunal. Or we were the representatives. So we sat at the table. Because now there was no four shifts being discussed because it was going to go to an independent tribunal. What was happening was we were starting to talk about an increase in wages. Now, when you hear this one, just tell me what you think. After 12 weeks on the road, the tenth round came about. And every Tom, Dick and Harry in the country got threepence of an hour of an increase without going on strike. So what they offered us after 12 weeks on the road was they were giving us fourpence farden. See? So that was a penny farden extra over and above the National Wage Agreement. So we as the representatives said, now, well, hold on now. We're after 12 weeks on the road and we're being offered fourpence farden. Yeah, but it's fourpence farden. But hold on, we said, everyone else got threepence. So we're only getting a penny farden. So, well, you have to put that to the men, to the workers. And I said, fair enough. Put it to them, we'll see what happens. And it was turned down. So they called a meeting.
But you were getting one penny and a farthing more. More than anybody else.
That's right.
And yet they turned it down.
Yes.
Why?
Now, that's a good question. Was it because the four-shift system was in the background? Was it because after 12 weeks on the road, the lads thought, we're only getting a penny farthing, a little more than the buyers. Now, penny farthing wasn't a whole lot per hour, like, you know what I mean? But it was okay. But
it was, in fact, 4 pennies and a farthing per hour more. It all adds up.
Oh, it does. And it was, there was an increase. But you see, the way they looked at it, when I was going back to these meetings, I was dealing with a whole lot of guys. What do you mean? You see, now, like, I'd say...
Was that very frustrating?
Ah.
For
yeah.
you?
Yeah, of course it was.
To try and handle that situation.
Well, it was and it wasn't, because I saw where the workers were coming from. I saw them that they had little or nothing. You know, they were getting around £5 a week and they were struggling. And into the bargain. Now, and what was frustrating was one of the priests in the parish stood up and he condemned the strike committee without even consulting the strike committee. Now, I was the secretary of the strike committee. Liam Stone was the chairperson of the strike committee. The clergy never contacted us. We never had one word with the clergy. The clergy got up and condemned the strike committee.
But that was you.
Yeah.
And you said nothing about it.
Well, it wasn't me that heard them. It was my sister walked out of the church.
And at that time, because we're talking about the 60s, the church had great power in those days.
Yes.
And so, you know, they were an authority on anything they said, you know. And so you would have to take it seriously.
Yeah. But I didn't. I ignored it because... The reason I ignored it, basically, if they had come to the strike and asked to see the strike committee, we would have explained our position. The priests didn't do that. So I said, I'm not going to even bother to try and contact them. It would be a waste of time. So it didn't bother me because it wasn't affecting me or the community. Now, the community, Clondalkin was suffering, remember. Now, the money that was should have been flowing into the shops and all wasn't. There was. Now, I'll have to be quite honest with you. We worked a rotor system for the picketing. And I had some great guys, you know. Now, I was there every day myself. Anytime I wasn't at meetings, It took up full time. I was full time for the 18 weeks, every day going. I was out of the house early morning and checking this, checking that, going to meetings, the whole lot. Now, I was young. I had the energy. I was lucky. And the bottom...
But it was very revolutionary, really, if you think about it.
I would have been, yeah. Morris, I'd have to turn around and say that I read the 1913 lockout about that. I read, and last year was the 100th year. I would have had great respect for a man called Jim Larkin. I read Strumpet City. I read about the poverty and what happened and the employers, the way they were treating the workers. And to me, now, that didn't happen in the mills. The mills was a very good employer. I have to turn around and anyone will say it. But the men worked. All the men they worked hard down there.
But from the day that you joined in 1951 and moved in there, I mean, you would have seen the growth. the development, not just of the paper mills itself, but also the town around it, and all the businesses doing so well from the workers who that's obviously right. used, and that all of this was collapsing in front of your eyes.
Wasn't really collapsing because as it stood.
But you pulled out, you told me, because you saw it was coming to an end.
Yeah, and the reason, when I went to Sweden, now when I went to Sweden, it's not copying, there was 13 machines making paper. 13 machines, we had 3 machines. The timber came down the big river and debarked, cut up, made into pulp, made into paper. Fantastic. There was 125. I asked these questions myself at the meetings, and they were, now Mick McDermott, we're all there, there was a team of us there. So I asked a few questions. I had brought over me paperwork and I asked a few questions. How many mills were in Sweden at the time in 66? 125. How many were working the 4-shift system? 100.
So were you scared off by this?
No, big time.
And did you think we were going to lose, that all the paper was going to come into the country at a far less price than what you could produce it here at?
Yes. Now, I couldn't answer that 100%, but you have a point. But I ask another question then. Can you overproduce on this system? Remember, the machines were working 7 days a week, flat out. And they said, yes, we have already started to overproduce. So I asked, well, what's going to happen? We'll close down most of the mills and confine our production to 10 to 15. This was management now. This was the powers that be. I asked, and what will become of the workers who become redundant as a result of the mills closing down? They will be absorbed up in other industries. That went down on the notebook. Now, we were looking out at the river, and Paddy Duffy was a union man, lovely man too, lovely and oldish man, Paddy. And Paddy had an old pipe in his mouth, and he turned around, and we were looking at them. It was lovely, and the Swedish people were lovely, you know. They had women and all working in the mills. Big strapping ones. But what was I going to say? Yeah, Paddy said to me with the pipe in his mouth, he said, Eamon, now, what do you think when you go back? Will it be necessary to work the 4 shifts? Now, look what I said. Do you see those machines behind us where the mills are at the back of us? We're looking at. You see the trees coming down the river. It's debarked, made into pulp, made into paper, finished product. Now I said, how can we compare or compete against that? And he says to me, so we could close down the place that we're working in. Pipe nearly fell out of his mouth, and he says, Eamon, I don't understand you. No, says I, Paddy, you don't understand me. Neither does anyone else. But remember this, says I, we're more viable. In Clondalkin paper mills, we're more viable than those machines there. They're flat out, says I, 7 days of the week. Now if a slump comes, what's going to happen? Are they going to shut down? What happens? Says I, if they get extra orders, They can't work any more than what they're doing. Now I said, we're more flexible. We can go on a 5-day week, we can go on a 6-day week, or we can go on a 7-day week. That's the way I see it. But so management mightn't see that. Now, management didn't see it. But we were more flexible. We could chop and change. We were prepared to give them. If they got slack, you could go to a 5-day week, the 3 shifts. Are you with me? And whatever. But anyway, I wouldn't know about that. All I knew was that I saw mass production. I saw mass production. I didn't, and it was whoever was more powerful would kill off the other guy. And you see, Clondalkin already had bought, they had already bought Saggart. They had already bought, they were the Clondalkin group. So when actually I came back, now, and we could finish up on this note, when I actually came back to, and worked, a job came available in Ireland Coffee Company. And I applied for it. And I got an interview. And I went down to Mr. Russell, it was. He interviewed me and he says, I see you're averaging £18 a week in Clondalkin and paper mills. And I said, that's correct. And says he, we're only paying £12 a week here. Now, says he, there's a huge difference. Now, remember, I was a married man at the time. And I said to him, well, it's like this, Mr. Russell. I said, the job that you're offering, which was on machines, I can do. Now, says I, whether you offer me that job or not, I am leaving Clondalkin paper mills. I'm not staying there. I was sick of it. It was Carmel, God be good to her, said to me during the strike. She says, you throw yourself 100% into everything. And she said to me, get out of the mill. Get off shift work. And I said, you know that I stand to lose quite a considerable amount in my salary. She says, we're after struggling on strike pay, we'll manage.
Well, Eamon Tully, listen, thank you so much for telling me the story. And I know there's an awful lot more. And and I if you don't mind, I would love to come back and talk to you again.
I'd be more than happy. And in the meantime, what we'll do is we'll allow you, we'll give, Tommy Cho did that. Take that, read through that.
Okay.
And then come back to me.
And talk to you again.
And see why I was so much involved. And I'll tell you, I've married the second time, and a lovely lady too. I believe, and in the spiritual world, there is a spiritual world, and it's vast. And anyone, and things have turned out for me, even though I've had a lot of hassle in my life. I lost a young son now as well, on the same year the mammy died, in 1978. And there's so much more I can tell you. But I want you to take that and study it.